下。
This minisode is actually a companion episode to our figure skating photography episode, which we released a handful of days ago. However, we got so many listener-submitted questions related to photography, and that combined with our interview with Giuseppe meant that we really felt it would be best to split the banner and flower crown related questions and discussion into a separate minisode because runtime was getting quite long on the photography episode. So here is our discussion and answers to all your questions pertaining to banners and flower crowns. We hope you enjoy listening.
Nikki asked, I was wondering what banner size is recommended if it's going to be hung, and what kind of material do you prefer, and what is the ideal picture size that you should work with so it doesn't look pixelated?
Okay, so there's a lot of questions within this question. So I'll start with the banner size. I think for banner size, it really just depends on the rink. Like if there's a lot of railing space, if the railing space lengthwise is like long or not, if you have to tape it to the wall, it really just depends. For me, I found that working with like something like a base height of 3 feet works like pretty well for hanging banners. So yeah, I would suggest that. But also, yeah, it just depends on how the rink is like and where you are hanging it. For materials, last season I used vinyl material, so it was kind of heavy. It kind of like dented really easily, which wasn't that ideal for like traveling because I would have to bring like poster tube and then I would have to make sure it's not dented, roll it out the night before so that it's like not curled inwards. This season I decided to just go with cloth banners, which I got a first batch last week, and it's really nice. It's really light. I could fold it. I could just shove it into my suitcase if I travel with it, which is really convenient.
Vacuum seal.
Yeah, exactly. I could vacuum seal it. So it's going to be great. Yeah, and it's super light. So I just do not have to like worry about like how much weight it is. Because like just carrying around my vinyl banners last season was super heavy.
They were. Oh my goodness.
They were so massive.
Yeah. I brought the 3 banners like in the tube because you shipped them directly to my house for 4 continents. And that ended up being my like check-in thing. Like I just checked it in. And it was so unwieldy to carry around. Like it was like the most annoying thing to carry. So I was just like, oh, I'll chuck it in with like the gate check. And then I had to like wait for it forever. And it was so heavy. And then when I got there, they made me take out all of the banners that were all rolled up so nice and neatly.
Oh yeah, I had to do that too at the airport.
Oh my god.
It was such a trial.
And then I'm just like trying to roll it up really fast. I could leave and it's like really annoying.
One thing that we might want to note is that the season in terms of a lot of the major competitions, like for instance, I know Gab, we're mostly planning on doing more like handheld banners just because a lot of the rinks and venues have slightly stricter, or at least on the surface, slightly stricter policies than a lot of the major venues last season in terms of whether or not they permit even banners to be hung.
Yeah, looking at the competitions I am attending this season, like so many of them do not permit hanging banners, and only Skate Canada so far is the one that says like, yeah, hanging banners is fine, which is really sad. So a lot of my banners this season is just like handheld banners, basically. So it's also important to look at those FAQs just to see if you can get that information.
Right. So like long term, if you want like, oh, a banner for your favorite skater that you maybe want to carry for 3 seasons, hopefully, or something, if they're still competing or something, handheld might be like slightly bit of a better bet. Like, you know, if you have a large hanging banner, it makes a stronger impression. But like if you want longevity, especially how fickle and inconsistent, not even just among like different federations or different competitions, but different rinks can be regarding banner policy, like you have to kind of weigh the pros and cons. But handheld might have longer longevity. You can bring them to ice shows, you know, you can do whatever with them. They're a little bit more flexible.
Especially since, again, the whole thing with photography and security being inconsistent because the rink management versus the ISU versus the private security, like they don't know the rules exactly. Like sometimes like the FAQ will say for the rink, like no banner is allowed. But obviously we know that banners are very commonplace in figure skating competitions. But then the competition official site will say banners can be within this particular size. So you don't know exactly what the actual rule is. And like when I went to Four Continents, I was stopped every day in practice, like Tuesday and Wednesday practices, they did not let me bring in banners or hang them or anything. And then Thursday, suddenly, the security was like, oh yeah, once doors open at 11:30, we'll let you hang the banners. So it just kind of was like, you kind of got to play it by ear sometimes, take the risk. But then again, banners can be kind of unwieldy and hard to carry. So again, it's pros and cons.
Yeah, if you think you're going to go to a lot of competitions this season, maybe consider investing in smaller handhelds or cloth banners or something just for your own sake, possibly.
As for image size quality, I think that really just depends on what size your banner is. So usually I tend to use my own photography just because I know that is the maximum size of image I could get already. And it, like, yeah, it just depends. Like on Google, you could easily filter out pictures to get like the larger file pictures. So that might help. And also, just like, this is really technical, so not everyone knows what this means, but basically you want your picture to be 300 dpi, and you could check that on Photoshop just by resizing it. It's going to be written dpi, and there's usually like a number, sometimes it's 72, sometimes it's something else, but you usually want that to be 300, and then you're sure that that picture is going to be really good quality.
And also just make sure if you're using other people's photos that you have permission from them to use. Yes. Just from a legal point of view, like, please don't steal people's photographs.
You could also filter your Google pictures to be labeled for reuse, so that's also helpful.
So all we've touched on so far have talked about like banners that have been professionally printed and designed like digitally, but do we have any advice on making handmade banners, such as what materials to use, or like, is printing kind of the go-to?
I just use printed just because I have a degree for it. It's easier for me. I know how to work with printers, but you could easily just make handheld banners yourself using paper.
Lay sitting outside of the rink at ACI drawing Yuzu Wakaba banners.
The 4 a.m. Wakaba banner like sketching session.
Yeah, from experience, you can just buy, as I did, just buy like, you know, an A3 size piece of card and buy some gold stickers and like a permanent marker. And like, honestly, it's just the thinking and it's the design that goes into it.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, no, truly, like, be creative. Banners are supposed to be fun. Be creative. Like, Gab and I have been playing around with ideas of a lot more sort of multimedia stuff. So I'll go to a craft store and see, like, some crazy thing that I'm like, can we stick this on a piece of cloth as a banner? And Gab will be like, oh my gosh, let's give it a shot. So, like, try to just think about, like, okay, what can, you know, if you're not the best artist at, you know, maybe hand drafting, if you're not as confident maybe in your drafting skills as, say, layers, like, look at different things. You could use patches, you could use flowers, you can glue things on, you can use stickers, lettering. There's so many options. Just have fun with it.
Spend an hour at the craft store, yeah, essentially.
You can come up, just be inventive, think about weird things you can do. It, you know, it'll stand out, if nothing else, if you do more multimedia. It's, you know, start a trend.
Perfect. And then we'll just move on quickly to the final segment on flower crowns. So again, Miriam C has asked, how do you make flower crowns and how much time does it take? Are they real flowers? And do you know what skaters do afterwards with it? And then also, how do you make flower crowns sturdy?
Do we use real flowers?
Tragically not. I wish we had the budget. It would be the dream.
And the time also.
Yeah, one of the downsides of using real flowers is, you know, they have to be fresh flowers. So if you wanted 20 crowns for a competition, you'd have to make 20 crowns like in a night.
And then stick them all in like the refrigerator. Thankfully, like a rink is just a giant refrigerator. So like that's not so much of an issue.
That's in your favor, but.
But in terms of practicality and transportation, it is not practical at all. We started just buying like florist wire from the craft store, and then literally we took a trip to a dollar store in Canada, in Laval, and picked up some fake flowers and had a crafting session and started making flower crowns like in our Airbnb. Like that's basically, it doesn't have to be expensive. Like Bex and I have gone a little bit crazy, like going to Michael's like three times a week.
We're savvy. We're crazy, but savvy in terms of deals. You don't have to be, so some basic tips kind of like, generally, if you want to make a slightly higher end crown, at least I'm not quite sure for Kat at this moment, but it usually takes me between 20 to 30 minutes to sort of select the color palette, select the flowers, cut everything, go over, but a couple quick tips would be your basic materials are going to be kind of a heavier gauge, like a 12 gauge sort of standard wire that you can find at like any craft store. Even the dollar store sells this actually, so you can go check that out too. The craft store can be just as cheap with coupons. And then florist tape, fake flowers, and then sort of a really thin 26 gauge wire. And things you want to check with the flowers, or basically for sturdiness, because Kara and I learned to make flower crowns through trial and error, which I'm sure we can talk about, in terms of them falling apart, like, yep. After we transported them across the continent, and then, like, yep. Bleeding all over the rink, and, like, the photographers are judging us as we try to pass them off to skaters.
Trial and error, friends.
Truly, truly, it was. So, benefit from our experience and don't make our mistakes. So, one thing you might want to do, whether it's a dollar store flower or more of a slightly higher end one, is do what I would call a tug test, which is an absurd metric, but basically gently tug on the flowers to see, because some flowers pop off super easily and they're likely to fall off in transit or if you're moving them around, and then others will have super secure sort of flower heads where there's not going to be bits that fall off. Also, just in general, make sure that you can cut them to a length that you can wrap around a base. Some flowers are beautiful, but because of the way they're sort of created, you can maybe only get like half an inch, which isn't quite always enough to wrap.
Yeah, that's the problem that I had when I bought the giant garlands with like the shiny flowers, is that they're like, those flowers were really weird because they were on like a chain type thing. And so it was really hard to get a stem. Like, I had to cut off 3/4 of the chain off so that it just had the little piece. And then so I could wrap it, because otherwise you would just have this gigantic little round chain thing, which was really hard to work with, like wrapping like florist tape on. So
yeah, and we figured out kind of a way to get around it, especially like I once tried to make a ode to origin sort of crown, which wasn't actually a flower crown, it was like a feather and glitter crown, and I had to work with feathers, and that was extremely difficult because they're a lot more finicky than flower stems. So that, if I recommend feathers for being fun but also excruciating, but one thing we kind of figured out is that you can work with a shorter stem for some of the flowers if you take a fine gauge wire. And then what I like to do is I like to take all the stems and cut all my flowers in advance for a crown, and both Kat and I do this, and you take floral tape and you kind of wrap it and construct the crown, and then take that thin gauge wire and go over everything and bind the floral tape to the wire and wrap really finely around, and that'll make it super sturdy and travelable.
Yep. And don't be afraid of like smushing down your flower crowns if you have to travel with them, like flying. Like, we literally just stuff crowns into our carry-ons and just put stuff all over it, and you know, they perk up once you take them out.
Yeah, you can vacuum seal them, you can smash them. Honestly, they'll be fine. This will be ready for photography, it's fine.
Yeah, I went to 4 continents just vacuum sealing everything, like plushies and like, what I brought like 17 flower crowns or something. And I just vacuum sealed them and they saved so much room. So they travel pretty well if you just vacuum seal.
So yeah, extra wire and vacuum seal and you'll be fine. It honestly, just have fun with color palettes. And also one small recommendation is that flowers tend to look more ridiculous. Like, flowers that don't look that big in a store might look more ridiculous or headdressy than you expect on a flower crown. So smaller is kind of better, as we've learned through trial and error.
Yeah, or like try to balance it at least.
Yeah.
Just be creative with it. There's no right or wrong way to design a flower crown. Play around with colors. And obviously our crowns look better once we've made a lot of them and also started investing in better quality flowers, like not from the dollar store, but they don't have to be, like no one can tell.
Like, people were very happy, or you know, seemed to like the kind of sketchier ones that we like whipped out of the blue at Grand Prix Final, and then like we went all out for World Team Trophy because we knew we could probably get them to Team Japan pretty easily and stuff, and that was all set up. So like, oh well, they're gonna be using them for a couple days repeatedly, if we should actually not snake them on this. But yeah, just have fun with it. And then Nicole also asked if we had any tips for getting gifts and flower crowns to skaters and sort of handing them off, and if that's actually feasible without having a front row seat. So Kat is the sort of fabulous person of pulling things off in terms of getting things done. Might have some insight into that.
Well, I mean, No, you don't necessarily have to get a front row seat, obviously. Like, I only had a front row seat at Fort Continents. That was the only one. But generally, you do have to find a way to hop to the towards the front pretty quickly, obviously, if you want to be able to interact with skaters. But honestly, figure skating fans are pretty nice everywhere you go. And if you really have a gift that you want to give to someone, I'm sure people will move out of the way if you're nice about it. And like I remember like someone when we were handing out flower crowns at Grand Prix Final, and Garrett just like ran across the rink basically and was able to join us. He had a crown for Alina.
Oh yeah, because he had a crown that he really wanted us to give Alina. And like we were lucky enough to have front rows. I had Yogita and I had front row seats at Grand Prix Final. It was pretty much like right opposite the winner's podium. For the medal ceremony. So when they hopped off, they kind of just skated down towards us when we were doing the victory lap. So things like that can make it easier. But one thing you could consider too is, you know, fans generally like to collaborate or help people pull yeah. projects. So you could even try to ask around on Twitter or a forum or something and be like, I have a gift or I made something that I'd like to try to hand off during the victory ceremony if it's appropriate. Like,
oh, is yeah, anyone for sure.
going to be in position? So that could be something you could try if you're like, you know, way up in the nosebleeds or something and like don't think it's quite feasible to dash down.
Yeah, it's like someone messaged me during Four Continents, like right in the middle of the ladies event, actually, like saying that, oh, from where she was sitting, she wasn't allowed to toss plushies. So she asked me, she just literally handed me a bag full of plushies to toss at the skaters that she wanted me to toss them at. I was like, okay, sure.
Yeah, don't be shy about asking for help, basically. People will generally try to like, you know, group together to try to pull off fun feats or to show support or appreciation. So, you know, it's worth a shot.
And in terms of where you want to be sitting, obviously, if you want to get more skater interaction, then you have to sit on the side of the Kiss and Cry, which is where we sat at Grand Prix Final when we tossed the Superrong at June. And that's also where I sat, basically, for Four Continents.
Like, you were right by the skater's entrance.
I did happen to get just really lucky for that instance. And if you can try to get a seat in that area, like, then, yeah. And then, obviously, some competitions are more chill about having skaters, like, interact with audience members during competitions and stuff like that. So be aware of that as well. So, yeah.
Well, I think that pretty much sums up our entire episode. So I think we just want to thank you, first of all, for listening. And a special thanks to Gina and Clara from the ITL team for their additional advice. Our entire transcribing and quality control team, Evie for editing, and Gab for graphic design.
So if you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on our website in thelowpodcast.com or our Twitter. And you can also find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify.
If you enjoy the show and want to help support the team, then please consider making a donation to us on our Ko-fi page. We'd like to give a huge thank you to all the listeners who have contributed to our team thus far. You can find all the links to our social media pages and our Ko-fi on the website.
And if you're listening on iTunes, please consider leaving us a rating and a review if you enjoyed the show. Thanks for listening. This has been Gab,
Lay,
Kat,
and Bex.
Bye!
Bye!